And for more insight, let's speak to Chung Jae-in, Associate Professor of Political Science at National University of Singapore and a non-resident scholar at Carnegie China. Professor Chung, China has kicked off its biggest military parade since 2015. It's marking 80 years since the end of World War II. But today, was it fundamentally a commemoration of history, or was it a message about China's place in today's geopolitical order?
So there's several messages that come out of the parade. Externally, it definitely is an underscoring of China's position as a major military power to be everyone has to contend with, that those that might think about crossing swords with the PRC should really think twice and refrain from doing so. There's a domestic message too, which is to play on this idea of, you know, the Chinese nation having arrived under the leadership of the Chinese Communist Party and Xi Jinping, that, you know, it is the protector of the Chinese nation and, you know, is what will sort of guide through this stronger sense of Chinese nationalism.
I see. Then who can we say was the primary audience here? This parade has been evaluated to be a parade full of symbolism. So was the military parade targeted at Chinese citizens, regional rivals, or Washington? And how might each group interpret the show of force differently?
Like with any major public spectacle, there are multiple audiences that are in the mind of the planners. Towards Washington, it's to show that, you know, that Beijing is not isolated. It's got friends. It's not afraid of what Beijing sees as bullying. Hence, you know, it's brought in leaders like Putin, like Kim Jong-il, and also like the Iranian president that Washington may have some reservations about, although that may be slightly changing with Putin. It's also brought in lots of leaders from the so-called global south, from Southeast Asia, to bolster the idea that China's not alone. Now, for those countries that might have disputes with China, I guess the point is for them to accept China's will. And domestically, it's about, you know, China being the great nation. This is the rejuvenation of China. And people should take pride and should support further Xi Jinping and the Chinese Communist Party as they endeavor to move further in that direction.
Right. So interpretations may have differed, but one common place here is that much attention was poured into this victory parade. And state media has been teasing fourth generation systems to be rolled out. And we've seen many debut of new military hardware roll out. So what do they reveal about how the Chinese People's Liberation Army envisions future warfare, especially in the space like space, cyber and unmanned domains?
So it really represents the PRC and the PLA's vision of, you know, where they've come and where they want to be, which is to be able to contest all domains, whether this is space, whether this is cyber, whether this is more conventional, air, sea, and land. They want to be able to do it all. And they want to be able to bring force to bear should they need to across all these domains. It's a sign, I think, for others to take note that, you know, they really shouldn't contest things with the PRC because there's this sort of arsenal that's at the, you know, that the Beijing can call upon. Of course, that contrasts a bit with this talk of peace, because it seems to be a peace that's backed by this strong military might.
Mm-hmm. But could this be interpreted as China taking more military might and exacerbating already existing geopolitical tensions?
Oh, absolutely. So this is it's a fine line to really balance. There's a school of thought that says, well, the more military might you show, the more others will be cowed, and you have a degree of stability. But that demonstration of military might can also seem very threatening to others, and that could encourage others to take countermeasures, and that could get us to more of an arms race situation where things are far more tense.
So could we say that today's parade reinforced China's military role, and especially underlines Xi Jinping's broader strategic ambitions by frontlining military might?
So I guess the military might bit is something that Xi, with his sort of push on Chinese nationalism, has really, actually we've seen this in 2015 going through now, has really emphasized on the building up the military is really important for Xi. So I guess she sees this military might as something, as one of the key pillars undergirding the legitimacy of the party and indeed his own legacy. But at the same time, it could become, cause for instability in the region.
At the same time, we also saw that Xi Jinping shared the podium with Vladimir Putin and Kim Jong-un, while most Western leaders swayed away, really shedding light on the symbolism as to how geopolitics looks right now. So what signal does that lineup send about China's emerging partnerships?
So it shows that the PRC can make friends with whoever they want, whenever they want. It doesn't matter what the Europeans think. It doesn't matter what the North Americans think. And beyond the great powers, they can also get to regional leaders like in Southeast Asia. The Kim Jong-un appearance was actually particularly interesting. If you would recall, about a week ago, President Trump had said that he wanted to meet with Kim Jong-un. Now, at very short notice, she announced this Kim Jong-un notice. He seems to have one-upped Trump and maybe in a way thumbed his nose at Trump to show that he can do what Trump wants. Mm.
And can we read into that a bit more? So by Xi Jinping one-upping Trump, by announcing very last minute that Kim Jong-un will be appearing at this victory parade, what does that mean? How will that affect tensions here in this region?
So in the sort of practical terms, the appearance at the victory parade won't really affect tensions directly. But what it does, though, I think from in Xi's mind, is to put himself in a position of strength via Trump. Now, as the U.S. and the PRC go into discussions and negotiations over a range of things, how that plays in Trump's mind, I suppose, is that's the unknown right now, right? Of course, it could get Trump to be more compromising. It could get Trump to want to counter, because Trump is another person who likes to be the tough guy. He wants to be the biggest person in the room. Mm-hmm. So we can see that dynamic becoming more competitive again.
Uh-huh. Then how could you say that today's military parade and the intentional choreography of having Kim Jong-un appear with Putin, how could that shape a post-U.S. order?
So that's been interesting, because at the SCO summit right before the parade, there was a lot of talk about order. There's a lot of talk about having a new multilateral and, in fact, multipolar system. The two are not exactly the same. But so far, there's nothing concrete that has been rolled out so far. The 200 plus million in aid that the PRC promised, the 1.5 billion in this new development bank that they talked about, you know, that is actually a pretty small amount compared to maybe 10, 12 years ago when Beijing rolled out its Belt and Road Initiative. So in that respect, what is still missing here is, you know, how is China going to perhaps bolster current institutions? How is it going to reform or come up with new ones? So there's a lot of aspiration. How that aspiration becomes concrete still remains to be seen.
Right, an aspiration for China to be leading a new global order. And speaking of global order, then we need to keep in mind that neighbors like Japan, South Korea, and ASEAN actually are taking part. They've put much attention. So does a spectacle of this scale after the security calculus, will it be seen mainly as a political theater or an opportunity for these neighboring nations to actually choose which side they will choose in a new political order?
Yeah, I think it may affect popular opinion to some degree. But for people who've been following developments in the PRC, this is not particularly new. It has been evident for a while that this sort of parade is something that the PRC could pull off. The kind of technology that's been put on show, people have talked about it in the public previously. And also, a parade, you know, is a performance. The degree to which the equipment on show is operationalized, we don't really know yet.
The degree yet to keep out on, but bottom line, after today, what should the region watch out for, whether it be China's larger drills, new arms deployments, or could we go as far as to expecting closer Russia, North Korea, China cooperation?
So I think the Russia, North Korea, China PRC cooperation, we will see. We've already been seeing that. That trajectory will continue. PRC patrols are pretty aggressive sometimes in the region. That will continue. But I think what is a little bit outside the region, but is also important, is I think it shows that Putin's war effort against Ukraine, that will also continue. The PRC is not shying away from supporting Russia. So Russia can probably expect its war economy to be propped up some more, probably getting more important dual-use equipment from the PRC.
Lastly, Professor, I'd like to ask you this question before letting you go. Do you think today's victory parade is more of a pro than a con to China?
So I think it is domestically a pro. At least it's a pro for the Chinese Communist Party and Xi Jinping. It really bolsters their sort of sense of, you know, China has arrived. China's not going to be a victim again. That victimhood narrative is very important for them to play on. Externally, I think the picture is a little bit more mixed. Will others be more cowed? Will they figure that they need to come up with better countermeasures? That's the unknown. That's the thing that Beijing is betting on, that others will sort of give way because of its might. But that may or may not play out in the way that Beijing expects.
We'll have to see the developments from now on forward. In the meantime, thank you so much for your insight. That was Cheng Jae-in, Associate Professor of Political Science at the National University of Singapore, and non-resident scholar at Carnegie China.